All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. Karen Kotowski, she's running for Congress. She blew the whistle on Bill Luddy and the rest of the liars in the Office of Special Plans, which makes her a hero of mine. Welcome back to the show, Karen. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I'm very happy to have you here. So you're running for Congress in which district of what state now?
6th District of Virginia, and it's the Upper Shenandoah Valley. We're, like, basically the most beautiful district in Virginia.
All right. Well, you got that going for you.
Yep.
Karen Kotowski for Congress. The website is KarenKForCongress.com, so you don't have to figure out how to spell Kotowski, which is very nice. KarenKForCongress.com. In honor of Bill of Rights Day, that glorious list of declaratory and restrictive clauses added to the U.S. Constitution back in 1791, on this very day, you're holding a money bomb. How can people donate to your congressional campaign, Karen Kotowski?
Easy way to do it is just to go to the website and click on donate. And if you look at the, there's an address there as well that you can mail checks to. But we take the donations, electronic, whatever, credit card, write a check. The information is all there. And we encourage you to do that because we're actually going to win this election. I'm just going to tell you that.
Well,
just
why don't you tell me a bit about that? You're going to win this election.
Yes, we are. We're going to unseat a 10-term incumbent. He's a Republican, a rhino, basically, Republican in name only, or at least he's a not very constitutionally aware Republican. We'll put it to him that way. And he's a big spender. He likes to borrow and spend. He likes to regulate and tax. He likes to do all those things. And so we're going to get rid of him in his Republican primary. He has never faced a primary challenger. This is the first time. And we are in the 6th District of Virginia is extremely conservative. We are conservative. Our Democrats are conservative, okay, and we don't have that many of them. So the only way to really have a race to give the people a choice, the people who live here a choice, is through that primary process. And we have an open primary, we are an open primary state. So any Virginian that lives in the 6th District that wants to come out June 12th of next year and choose their next representative, all they have to do is show up, go in, cast their vote. So there is so much dissatisfaction with this guy after 10 terms. And, of course, it won't surprise anyone to know that when he originally ran back in 1992, he ran on a term limits pledge. That's not a surprise because, we see that so many times, and it's one of the big problems that we have with our Congress. But we're going to win. We haven't talked. I mean, when we go around, I mean, you know, it's one thing to talk to Tea Parties and conservatives, and of course they are very dissatisfied with this guy and his votes. I mean, his votes to borrow, to spend, to go along and get along. They're sick of it. And so it's okay. We understand most of those guys are going to like us, and they do. But we've done a couple of parades in small towns and big towns, one in Lynchburg and one in Stanley. Stanley's a little teeny tiny town, and Lynchburg is a pretty good-sized town. And we walk through those parades, and we talk to people as we're walking through, tell them what we're doing, tell them who we're running against, and these guys are going, yeah, I like it. It's just amazing. So we're tapping into something that, for whatever reason, has not been tapped into before. And, of course, it's not all us. It's part of this overall awareness in this country. And a lot of it's due to Ron Paul's activity and what he's communicated to the people about the problems of this country. But this awareness that we are facing, that we are in the midst of, really, a major crisis in our way of life, our economy, and really a crisis of the Constitution, which, of course, brings us back to the importance of the Bill of Rights Day, which is something we really need to think about.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going through them earlier, and seems like there's very few. Geez, the first time I ever talked with Anthony Gregory was back in 2004, and he'd written an article about Bush's war on every single amendment of that thing. And, of course, all of it has just gotten worse. And, of course, the big news is Obama is promising today to not veto the bill recognizing his already claimed authority to kidnap and detain apparently any of us, Karen, that he feels like,
yeah,
if he says so.
Yeah, this is really, really frightening, and I'll say two things about it. Of course, I think most of your listeners and the readers of antiwar.com, they know what's at stake here, and they understand what is in that National Defense Authorization Bill, in terms of, you know, violation of rights, extension and expansion of executive power. Basically, the king is now, you know, the emperor, the king, the monarch. I mean, we don't have a president. That's just crazy talk to think that we have a constitutionally restrained president. So we know this is a big problem. The second thing I want to say, though, is because of our campaign, and we're going to take full credit for this, our incumbent, who voted for the NDAA when it hit the House back in May, did vote against it last night. And he did not vote with his rhino Republican buddies, Eric Cantor.
Well, he thought he was taking a talking point from you, but all he did was give you an even better one.
Well, you know, I commend him. I commend the incumbent, Bob Goodlatte. I commend him for his vote. Unfortunately, you know, like so many votes that they take up in the Congress and the House and the Senate, they game it. So who can look good while we still get along and go along? So, frankly, while his vote was a nice gesture, and I appreciate his growing fear of our candidacy, that's great. I commend him. He's a smart guy because he needs to be afraid. We're going to take him down. But
awesome.
Beyond that, we now are faced with this awful, awful law, which, like you said, Obama will not veto. He will embrace it. He will embrace the power. And, you know, my only thing to say here, and it's going to sound really awful, but if they want to declare America to be a military battlefield, all I'm going to say is you said it first. That's it. Because this law has to be gutted. It has to be altered. It has to be repealed. And that's one of the things, if it's still on the books by the 2013, I'm going to be proposing to strip that dangerous, dangerous language from that, if not repeal the whole thing. Now, given that this is an authorization act, it's important for them to spend money. You know, this is why they pass it. Oh, we're going to spend money. So some of the money will be spent. Some of the stuff in that by 2013 will already have, you know, been funded and executed and that kind of thing. But it does need to be amended, if not repealed. So I'll work on that. And if somebody doesn't get to it first, but it has to be done. The battle is on. And you know, America, the battlefield. Yeah. On this day, it's the anniversary of signing the Bill of Rights, which actually, you know, is the fundamental reason we have a country today, because the Constitution would not have been agreed to without that Bill of Rights, without that statement of rights, creator-granted rights that government will not interfere with, will not touch, will not amend, will not regulate. That was what it was about. And it's an important day. And, you know, the battle's on. And it's not just my campaign. It's for all of us.
Well, now, so tell us again about this great website, Karen Kaye for Congress. It seems to me like when I click the donate button, it has a breakdown of what can be bought with the size of any particular donation and how it can help your campaign. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that before we go out to this break?
Okay, sure. I don't have it in front of me, but there's a lot of things that we need to buy to get the word out, a lot of things we need to do to get the word out. And one of the important things that we're doing, just getting ready to launch, is a series of radio ads to go across the district. We are a district that listens to talk radio, and so we're going to advertise on the talk radio. We also have other types of broadcast networks that have their loyal fans, and we're going to put our ads out there, and we're going to make people aware of the things we offer in terms of liberty and constitutionalism, small government, you know, less government, more prosperity. That's our theme. And then also to make people aware of what 20 years of the same guy in office taking money has done to them. And so I'm real excited about our radio ads. We need money to run those ads. So definitely send it in.
Yeah. All right, everybody, you heard it. It's Karen Kaye for Congress.com, the Bill of Rights Day money bomb. Chip in, would you? Come on. We'll be right back. Hey, y'all. Welcome back. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm talking with Karen Kotowski. She's running for Congress. Karen K for Congress.com, running for Virginia's 6th District in the northern Shenandoah Valley. And so I want to ask you now, Karen, if I can. Oh, yeah, she's doing a money bomb today for Bill of Rights Day. So if you're one of those people who has a little bit of extra money, why not go ahead and donate it before Bernanke is done inflating it all away? So here's what I wanted
to
ask you. You say you're running against a rhino liberal Republican, which means he votes for everything bad, I take it. Lindsey Graham kind of guy. So what I'm thinking is, a couple of things. I keep reading in the media that Ron Paul's biggest problem with the conservatives is they just don't like his foreign policy. And I wonder, you know, how much foreign policy is going to have to play a role in your congressional race and how you plan on handling it. I mean, it seems to me like the strategy at least is available for you to simply attack him from the right, that a bunch of big government Hillary Clinton types like him love war, but real conservatives know that you don't go throw an airman in the garbage dump for a war they got lied into of conquest for no reason to expand our footprint in somebody else's region of the world, and that it's time to bring this thing home like George Washington would and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think you've nailed it. I mean, it's the George Washington foreign policy, which many Republicans will tell you they agree with until they, you know, until they meet Ron Paul, and then they say, oh, no, I don't agree with that. Well, of course you do. Of course, if you're a Republican, if you're a conservative, of course you agree with Ron Paul's foreign policy, because that's George Washington's foreign policy. He is the father of our country, a great soldier, okay, as we all know. So, anyway, there's that. Now, the other thing is, and this is, for me in the 6th District, we don't have military bases here. We do get plenty of military contracts, but we, you know, just like every other district in the whole entire country, you know, it's a big racket. But we are, we don't have a military base per se, and that is a good thing. One thing that our citizens here do is they offer up their sons and daughters into the war machine quite frequently. And, in the past 10 years, the past decade of wars in Afghanistan, in Iraq, has seen it has made our people in the 6th District very aware of the truth about nation building, okay? Now, that's not defense, that's nation building. So, quite frankly, when I talk to people about what's going on overseas and the spending, a lot of our people already get it because they've got, their kids have come back and they said, well, what'd you do in the war, Mommy or Daddy? And Mommy and Daddy and son and daughter and niece and nephew tell them what they did, and it turns out that what we're doing over there isn't something that George Washington would have ever approved of. Now, so that's one thing. It makes it pretty easy to talk about foreign policy here. Now, the other aspect is the money. Now, of course, you know, we're suffering unemployment just like a lot of places around the whole country are, and we just simply cannot afford 1,000 military bases around the world so that Hillary Clinton can have a place to fly in and out of, so she can feel good about bossing people around. You know, we can't afford that. That money is our money. That's taxpayer money. It's not government money. It's our money. And it needs to be back here, either in our pockets or spent here for unfunded liabilities to our elderly, to our sick, whatever it is. And I don't think any Republican can honestly argue with that. It is a conservative position. It's fiscally conservative. It is traditionally conservative. You know, in the George Washington or Dwight D. Eisenhower way of looking at things, which says defense is extremely important. Let's make sure that that's what we're doing with all that money. So, you know, there's that. And then, of course, there is a sector of our people, just like there is around the country, who look at some of those big old companies that make a lot of money off the government contracts, you know, pursuing nation building and things like that. And guess what? We don't look kindly on those companies. So, really, it hasn't been a real problem to talk about reducing foreign aid and to talk about bringing troops home and closing down overseas bases, because our people here, and I think a lot of people around the country, understand that that has nothing to do with defending our country. Ron Paul, me, any good Republican wants to defend the country. And so that's how we kind of explain it, and they explain it back to me in those same ways. So I'm learning from the people around me. We all think the same way.
Right. Well, that's good to hear. First of all, you know, how fertile the soil is for those kinds of arguments.
Yeah.
But I really think, you know, especially somebody like you, such a great writer and has been so experienced in these issues, working for a guy who, with his other hat on, was working for Doug Feith in the Office of Special Plans and these kinds of things, I think you really have the ability to lead people to peace, to lead people to say to themselves, you know, maybe it's okay for me to go ahead and be against all these wars I liked all this time.
Yeah, it is something, you know, like the Bible says, you have to put off the old man and put on the new man. In a way, a lot of conservatives, not me so much, but in a sense I did also, you know, because I was very shocked in the year 2002 when I realized how our foreign policy and how our war policy was actually being made. I was shocked, and I had to give up some of my old beliefs about that system, and we all have to do that. But the thing is, we have a constitution, we have a wonderful country that deserves to be defended, and it deserves to be strong. And we're not going to be strong if we pay for you know, 1,000 military bases overseas, and if we give away billions of dollars to this guy and that guy, you know, if you just look at our overseas aid just to the Middle East, I mean, we give to Israel, and then we give to Israel's enemies even more. What is that? That's not, that makes no sense, and that doesn't make us strong, and it doesn't make Israel strong either. So I think there's a lot of common ground here, and I call that conservative. I really call that conservative. It's pro-defense.
Well, you know what, Karen? I keep reading that federal government employees and military people give to Ron Paul more than anybody, and that seems to me like, hey, you know, I kind of sell these people short from time to time. I guess just kind of by default, they're familiar at least with the rhetoric of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the rule of law, and they see that in him. And what that means really, right, is a willingness to forego their own particular interest. Ron Paul might fire me for my national government job,
there,
for example,
yep,
because what he's trying to do is set it right. So maybe a bunch of scientists have to lose their job making weapons, but maybe they could do something good for a living, something that would benefit people instead, and we'd all be wealthier for it. People have to be willing to go ahead and sacrifice their own more narrow interests, you know, especially in that sense when they're, you know, working for the military-industrial complex or something,
that,
which has no right to
true.
Exist in the first place.
That's right. You know? That's absolutely true. And, you know, I actually talked with a lady just yesterday, conservative lady, one of our supporters, really, and she said she expressed some concern. Well, what will those people, the government employees, the military people, what will they do if we take away their job? What will they do? And see, this is the glory and the loveliness of liberty. They will, for a short time, you know, be hurting. Well, they probably in this country won't be hurting that bad because they'll probably get some unemployment. They'll have some transition. They might even be retired on a small retirement. But you know what? The beauty of liberty is they are now free to pursue their talents in something truly productive, not something that is politically driven and that doesn't really, you know, make valuable things that help people. You know,
yeah, I mean, just think of it from the other way. Just think of all the scientists and all the researchers who have been taken out of the private sector and into militarism.
Right.
Just
that's
think
right.
We don't even know what we've lost with all that
that's
opportunity
right.
cost
right.
and those kinds
the
of
unseen.
Things. Now,
and
but one more
you...
thing, though, I got to hit you with here, Karen,
okay.
is that I've always been very impressed with you ever since I very first read what you wrote for Hackworth and Lou Rockwell and interviewed you back in, I guess, 2004 or something like that, years ago. But I worry that if you get elected to Congress, you're going to turn into the devil. You know how
yeah.
power is.
Well, you know, okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I you know, it doesn't matter what I say because that's the whole nature of the beast, right? It doesn't matter what you say. Of course, everyone's going to say no. They're not going to go bad. I can only say this: I have taken a bonded term limits pledge, which means I've put up money in a promissory note to commit to only being there a maximum of 3 terms. So. You can count on me being pretty conservative and not very wealthy that I will honor that pledge. So that's one thing that I can put forth. The other thing is I have learned in my many years in the military and my years of study after that, I have learned what is important and what is at stake. And I think that is going to impel me to be the kind of citizen legislator, citizen representative that is not going to be in it for power, is not going to be in it for glory or how many pats on the back they get, but is really, I'm really seriously angry about how where our country has gotten to, and I really see it as kind of a mission. So, you know, that's all I can say. You know who I am, so you can probably trust me. People that don't know me, they say, oh, well, everybody says that. You know, well, maybe they do. But,
well, I'll tell them to go read your archives at Lou Rockwell, see if everybody
go.
Says
and
that.
And I'll tell you, you know, having that archive and having the public statements that I have made in the past, in a sense, that will hold me to be true to my word, and I intend to. I
yeah.
intend to be.
Well, I definitely believe it. I recommend people check out Karen Kaye for Congress. Please donate today as her Bill of Rights Day money bomb. And also, just Google her name, read her and all about her, and you will want to, well, you will find reasons to believe and support. Thank you so much, Karen.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Scott. Thanks for what you do.
Karen Kaye for Congress.com.